turn to the book of James chapter 4, and we'll be looking there. James chapter 4 and verse 13 through 17. Now what we have to remember is what we studied last time, and that was that we are to submit ourselves to God. And once we submit ourselves to God, this next step should be pretty easy for us. Notice what James says. He's talking about boasting and bragging about tomorrow, about the future, about all the things that we're going to do. Beginning in verse 13, he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So James here is going to explain why we should be bragging about what's going to happen tomorrow and what we're going to do. We begin by looking at the fact that he's telling us, any of us who have all our plans already made, to listen, to pay attention. He says, go to now. He's saying, you know, pay attention. Listen up here. It goes right along with, we were talking this morning about listening to God. This is one of those things we're listening. Listen, pay attention. This is for you. You that are saying, we're going to do this or that tomorrow. We've already got this plan. Oh, we're going to go do this, and then we're going to do that. It's like the young man who was talking to an elderly gentleman. And the elderly gentleman said, well, young fella, said, you got your plans made? And the young fella said, oh, yes, I've got my plans made. So the elderly gentleman said, well, tell me, what are you going to do? And he said, well, this is my senior year in high school, so I'm going to finish up high school and I'm going to graduate. He said, oh, what then? And the fellow said, well, then I think I'm going to go on to college. He said, oh, well, what then? And the young fellow said, well, after I get out of college, I'll get a good job. The older fellow said, well, what then? He said, well, after I get a good job and get myself established, then I'll look for a wife and then I'll get married. The older gentleman said, what then? Well, I reckon we'll have children. Well, what then? He said, well, we'll raise our children and you know, then we'll send them off to school when they get grown. Well, what then? Well, by then it's about time to be thinking about retirement. We'll be retiring. Well, what then? He said, well, you know what, I guess, eventually I guess I'll die. And the older gentleman said, what then? And that's the real question for all of us. What then? After we've lived all of this life, what then? See, James is getting on to these folks who already had their life mapped out. They had all their plans. Oh, we're going to go to such and such a city, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to get gain. And James says, you don't know. You don't know that. Now, is James saying that we should never make any plans for the future? No. That's not what he's saying at all. There are some folks, I think, who have interpreted this verse this way, or at least used this verse and some others, to try to say, well, we should never have any retirement fund, or we should never make any plans for the future. We've got to trust God to take care of everything, and we don't need to even be thinking about any of that stuff in the future. We just need to let each day come as it comes, and then we'll deal with it when it gets here. We don't need to have any plans. Well, that's not what James is saying. What James is pointing out is, you've got all your plans made, but you've forgotten. In verse 14, he mentions to them, you don't know what will happen. As we look back on our lives up to this point, even young people can look at their lives up to this point, and they can see that things have not always gone as they planned. And I know certainly, the older we get, the more we can see how, whatever, this wasn't where I planned to be. This wasn't the way I planned for it to be. We don't know what turns and twists our life is going to take. They're going to push us or pull us or drive us in new directions. But there is one thing that we can be certain of. And James pointed out to us that we need to be certain of that thing, that we need to make our plans revolve around that. And that is, he tells us in verse 15, that we need not leave God out of our plans. He's not saying don't make plans, but what he is saying is, you better include this down, Sandra, now. Go sit down. And to blow his nose, didn't sound like it till then. He tells us that we don't need to leave God out of our plans. It's okay to make plans and look toward the future, but we need to understand that all of those plans, all of those things that we want to do, or that we would like to do, that we plan to do, all of those things are contingent on whether God allows it or not. God has the final say. And so he says we need to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do such and such. Because we don't know. And he said in verse 14, our life is just like a vapor. It just appears for a little while and it's gone. And so we see this, the problems that come when people make plans and they leave God out of it. A lot of times young people make plans as though they're going to live forever. They don't think about what could happen. I heard a statistic on the radio. I believe it said that 1 in 5 young fathers don't have life insurance for their family. You don't know what's going to happen. Oh, I'm sure that y'all think, well, I'm going to provide for my family. Well, what if you're not there? Who's going to provide for your family now? Haven't thought about that. And that's part of making good plans. God tells us that we are to provide for our families. And because of the wealth of our nation and because of the insurance industry, we have that capability of providing for our family even if we are gone. A wonderful option that they certainly didn't have in the time that James was writing this. You take advantage of those things. Even at that, of course, we know that any number of things could happen. To where even that life insurance would be useless, would be pointless. We know there are all manner of things. Nations fall from time to time. Monetary systems go into depression and become worthless. And all sorts of other things. Companies that may be invested in or an insurance company could disappear and not be there in the future. But we still can try to do those things for the best of our family. But we have to remember God first. God's in control of everything. Don't leave God out of your plan. Not saying you shouldn't think about the future, but that when you do think about the future, God should be in that picture of what we think about in the future. And everything that we do, all the plans that we make, should revolve around our obedience to God and our desire to be pleasing to him. Then in verse 16, he says, now you rejoice in your boasting. And all such rejoicing is evil. Boasting and bragging about all of the things that I am going to do, that I can do. I can't do anything. I can't do anything. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, strengthening me. But I, by myself, I can't do anything. I don't need to be bragging about, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I have no idea what I'm going to do, what I'm going to be able to do. I know what I would like to do. I know what I hope that I can do, that I hope that I can accomplish, but I don't know what I will do. And again, this comes back to the idea of submitting yourself to God. It's the arrogant, prideful person that God condemns that says, I'll do this. That says, I'm the boss. I'm in control. I am master of my own fate. Now we know that we are responsible for our own actions. Yes, that's true. But I don't know what life may bring before me. What I can know is if I submit myself to God, as we talked about in verses 1 to 12, then He's going to lift me up. He's going to allow me to be able to accomplish more than I ever planned on my own. More than I ever dreamed. In Ephesians, Paul says that he is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or even think. So all of the plans that we make, he can go so much further than that if we'll allow him. If we'll put our life in his hands, he can take us to heights that we only dreamed of. Even higher than we dreamed of. He can accomplish so much more. And so James then draws the conclusion that now that he's made the statement, okay, you need to quit doing this. You need to quit planning your life without God in it. You need to start realizing that it's only if God wills and if God allows you to do it that you're going to be able to do anything. You don't even have the promise that you'll wake up in the morning. It's all in God's hands. And he says, now that you know that, and you know you're not supposed to be boasting, you're not supposed to be bragging, you're not supposed to be making your plans without God. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know better, do better. Or, it's sin. The sin to continue the same habits and the same practices when you know better, when you've been taught better. And James has just taught us better. He's just explained to us that we need not plan out our lives without God. That we don't make the final decision. That we have to depend on what God wants. What God allows. We put God first. If we submit to Him, then it's easy to include Him in our plans. Our plans will revolve around Him, around His Word, and around His will for us. Now, I don't believe that as a result of what James said here, I don't believe that every time somebody says that they're planning to do something, if they don't actually say, if the Lord will, that'd be about all we say all day. Well, if the Lord will, I'll go to work tomorrow. Well, if the Lord will, I'm going to pay off the bill tomorrow. Well, if the Lord will, that'd be about all we say all day long. But we have to have that attitude, that mindset of understanding that anything that we think we're going to do, we can't do unless the Lord wills. But I've heard some interesting statements along those lines, and some I've had to pick it quote sometimes. Somebody said, well, if the Lord wills, I'll be at service this afternoon. Well, I know it's the Lord's will that you be here this afternoon. Or if the Lord wills, I'll be at church next week. Well, I know it's the Lord's will that we be at church. Now, I know they know that something could happen. They could become ill. They could even pass on before that time. But I pick out sometimes, well, we know that's the Lord's will for you to come to church. Because I've seen sometimes people use that very thing as an excuse. Well, I was providentially injured. From coming to worship God. Meaning God hindered you. He didn't want you to come worship Him. No, no, you might be demonically hindered. Yeah, but the devil might hinder you. Or you might hinder yourself. Or some other person might hinder you. God doesn't hinder folks from coming to worship Him. We hinder ourselves from those kinds of things. And that again, we submit to His will. Put that first on our list of priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things that He has done. A few short little verses with a very important message for us. Those who think, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, we better think about what God is going to allow us to do. What will God let us do? What does God want us to do? You know, we didn't deal with this in the lesson. Sometimes people go out of their way to make their plan intentionally contrary to what God wants. They go directly opposite of what He wants for them. And that's why He shoots them down sometimes. He doesn't allow them to do those things. Sometimes he does allow them to get strong, selfish, determined to disobey, to let them go. But we should be thankful that some of the plans that we made in times past did fall through. When I think about where my life is, and where my life could have been, all of the little twists and turns, and those seemingly small decisions, little things that happened, plans that I made that never came to pass. So many things. It could have been so different. I never knew what God had in store for me until I turned around a certain curve in my life. And I know I'm not at the end of my life yet. Well, I don't know that, but I hope I'm not. I know I haven't lived as many years as some of you have, but I imagine you can look back and see those things too. We know that God will work all things together for good if we love Him. We'll work things out for our good. Sometimes it may not seem like it at the time. It's hard to explain to young people. I remember when a girlfriend broke up with me and said, oh, it was the worst tragedy in the world, and oh, I don't know how I'm ever going to survive without this, you know, or how I might have been at something that lost a sporting event. Oh, it's the worst thing in the world. It's terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so many of the things that at the time, oh, it was just the worst thing in the world. Years down the road, it turned out for the best. It turned out better off than it had gone the other way. When I think about some of the girls that I was interested in, that I wanted to date, and I find out where they are today, and I say, well, I'm glad I didn't wind up with it. So much better off the way that I am. And let God do all of those things ahead of time. We need, though, to submit ourselves to Him. Let His Word be the guide for our life. And make all plans acknowledging Him and putting Him first in every decision. Through prayer and meditation and study of His Word to know that we're making the right decisions in our life. If you're here tonight and you haven't each responded to the invitation, for whatever reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.